All right, let's take our Bibles this evening. And we'll turn to two passages, Matthew chapter 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 11. Matthew chapter 22, Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll look at two passages. I was thinking up here of different illustrations dealing with this subject, and I saw Pastor Parrish over there, and I remember the teens. I can't remember what year it was that we brought the teens out. We were doing the climbs out there. Oh, it was the last trip. Sentimental moment. You know what I mean? It was when we were getting rid of the burden of the youth, when we had no clue what was coming next. All right? In reality. All right? We took the teens out there. We were going to help Pastor Parrish there in Chalice. And he had this idea. He said, you know what? I've always wanted to clean up my driveway. And I'm like, yeah, that'll be easy. And so the teens, they remember. He's like, yeah, you know what? What I'm wanting to do is clear out some of these boulders here, or these, you know, rocks. I think that's what he said. He said, I want to clear out some of these rocks. And I think, you know, if you can get that taken care of, oh, my word. Wow, okay, because there in Idaho, there's like this little knob that sticks up. I'm like, oh, let me go grab that. And you dig, and you dig, and I'm serious. Those rocks are huge. I mean, it took a couple of guys, and then didn't we break a trailer? Or we did something. I think we broke a trailer, broke wheelbarrows, because we're trying to move them. And he had us get so many of them out that didn't you line the whole drive? The whole driveway, which I think is from here to the boys' dorm. All right? Maybe not that far. But we're sitting there and we're digging. But it's only just this little thing showing. Little tiny thing. But then you get underneath. And man, it's so deep. And it's so, there's so much down there. That, in essence, is what our text are going to talk about this evening. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, and it shall come to pass, if ye hearken diligently. And what he was leading into is that you're coming into the land of milk and honey. And you got to keep the commandments. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Matthew 22, verse 36. You'll see where we're headed. We'll get there. Matthew 22, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It is said that the spider in the morning, I haven't really sat and watched this. Some of you may be really into that, into, you know, whatever, arachnids. And I'm not really into that, but it's said that a spider in the morning, and I have seen this because I can remember some of you guys might remember this. We would go to some land in Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma you'd be running or you'd be doing something maybe in the morning, and you do that crazy thing that you see somebody do. Maybe it's in the morning, and all of a sudden you're like, ah, all right? And you're like, what's up with that guy? All right? And you just ran through a spider web. Well, I can remember you'd walk and you'd see this bundle right in the middle. Right in the middle of the spider web. Well, it's said that in the morning with spiders, that they go and they start from the middle. And they start mending the web every morning from the middle out. Well, our text, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about something that's in the middle. Something that's very important, and that is the heart. The heart. It's a major truth that is found in these two commandments. God doesn't just want our good deeds. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want your actions. He wants your heart. And he wants you to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He wants it to come all the way down deep inside. And when your love is that thorough, it can be seen. It'll be shown. God wants our hearts. You see the word heart, I think the first image or thoughts, we can see that heart pounding. But to the doctor, the heart is an organ in our body. To the poet, the heart is the seat of love. To the plumber, the heart's a really good pump. To the weightlifter, the heart is just that, man, that's an intense muscle. To the car driver, it's an engine. But to God, it's the center of your being. It's where everything comes from. And that's why it's so important. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You let your heart go. You just let it out to anybody. And that, anybody can grab it. And they can ruin it, and they can twist it, and they can do all kinds of things. And here's somebody that you thought, man, I thought this person on the outside was this. And yet inside you say, how is that possible? It's possible. Because you got to guard your heart. We got to protect our heart. And this evening we want to look quickly at just a couple of things that will show you who has your heart. So let's, in essence, take a heart check. Heart check Fairhaven. All right, heart check Fairhaven. And we're coming in, and you got a check. And if you go to a doctor, they have all kinds of tests that they can put you through, and they can see if your heart is good or bad. And it's amazing what they can do. I've read stories of somebody going in, and man, they thought they were fine. And man, all of a sudden, all kinds of things happen. I was talking to Pastor Clark about that this week. And he went in, and they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Man, there's a whole lot of issues. And man, he's like, do whatever. Do a root canal. All right, or a Roto-Rooter. Get a Roto-Rooter, not a root canal. Man, that's the wrong thing, wasn't it? Wow, right from there. All right, there, just go down. All right, that's the wrong thing. Man, Rufus, that would hurt, wouldn't it? Just get to the heart. But get a Roto-Rooter. Do whatever. He said, man, just clean me up. I want to live longer. But you know what? Spiritually, we should come to God and we lay our heart out. We say, God, whatever. Whatever you got to do. I want a healthy heart. I want a spiritual heart. I want a heart that pleases you. My heart has got to be all yours with all my being, all my mind, all my soul. It's yours. And I think there's some things that we can check to see who has your heart. Let's open on a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for church, what it means to us. Thank you for Christ and salvation. Thank you that, Lord, we have the Word of God and we can go to it and we can rest upon it. We ask that you would help us this evening as we take the Word of God, we think about it, and we apply it. Help us to understand the Scriptures. Help us to rightly divide them. And Lord, as always, do what I can to speak to hearts. Lord, we claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have a heart check. So how can we tell who has our heart? Well, we're going to kind of bounce around with a couple of verses, but in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And this may seem like, oh man, that seems kind of trivial. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But I can tell who has your heart by your countenance. Believe it or not, I've seen it recently. I have. I could tell that somebody else had the heart, but it wasn't God. And sometimes you walk in, I know this. I told, I think it was Joe Bishop yesterday, I walked out of bus meeting and I said, hey, I can see it. Something's up here. He's like, what are you talking about? It's the countenance. It's the countenance. And you know what? God can, you can check some things by your countenance. And it doesn't matter. Man, you can go be going through tough times. Read some of the people that have gone through some unbelievably tough times. And they're singing praises. Here are Paul and Silas, and there you are at midnight, and you're in jail, and you're in bondage. What do they start doing? Talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about a problem, and they said, oh man, you know, it's just so hard. I'm like, oh, come on. I know it is sometimes. We have God. We have God, and if you have faith in God and you really trust in God, this God that we have, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask. And when you grasp that, you have joy. That doesn't mean that you're always smiling and bouncing. No. But you know what? Sometimes the battle is there, or maybe sometimes the trial is there, and you're letting that trial, you're letting that circumstance weigh you down. And that circumstance has your heart. God doesn't. Give your heart to God. And what you'll find is when you give when your heart is all God's, it shows up on your face. It shows up on your face and it shows up to others because your countenance can reveal who has your heart. You know, there's a lot of medicines on the market, designed specifically for the heart, to prevent heart attacks and strokes. And there's one heart medication advertisement. It has a hospital bed following a man wherever he goes. The advertiser says that if you had one heart attack, you are ripe for another, unless you take this medicine. If you take this medicine, they claim it'll prevent a heart attack. Now, wouldn't it be nice if God could give us a medicine to help our heart? Well, He does. He says, have a merry one. Have a merry heart. Have a merry heart. It'll help you. All right, get some joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So don't be all down in the dumps and say, man, it's just so hard, it's so tough. Come on, get over it. We have God. He is our God. And He's mighty to deliver. That's the God we serve. And when you grasp this God, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can be driving down the road. You can be pulling guard duty. You can be doing whatever. And you almost, even on guard duty, will be happy. Almost there. Because guess what? A merry heart. Who has your heart? It can be shown by your countenance. You know, we've been sold the idea that if I possess a new washing machine, maybe a new computer, you know, the new watch, the iPhone watch. It's only 10 grand. Maybe a gadget. That will make me happy. That will give me the abundant life. So we set out to buy ourselves happiness. And many people have swapped God for gadgets. They fail to develop themselves inside. But a crisis comes, and all of a sudden you've got a problem. And instead of working on your heart and developing your heart, and working and having joy of the Lord inside, you have put your joy in your car. You put your joy in the workplace. You put your joy in something that you thought would make you happy, and it fails you. And it will every time. You can't meet a crisis with a Cadillac. You can't heal a broken heart with a fridge. You can't clean a guilty conscience with a vacuum. But you know what? A healthy heart, it can help you. A spiritually healthy heart. And you can judge who has your heart by your countenance. What else can help us? Well, this is another easy one, I believe. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I can tell who has your heart by your countenance. I can also tell who has your heart by your words. I can remember I used this with the teenagers one time. I remember played softball in high school. And I can remember doing softball practice, and we had softball practice on the blacktop. So that was not fun. I was the second baseman. I have a good friend that even now, he was the first baseman. He's an assistant pastor actually in Canada. And so we would practice and throw. We were practicing, and our coach, he would just skim them on the ground. We'd scoop and throw it to the first baseman. And our first baseman, he was really long. All right, he was really long. He was probably 6 feet tall, and he was skinny, so he could do a big stretch in that first base. And I can remember we were practicing, and we went and we threw it, and he went to reach it, and it went flying by. When it went flying by, he said, "Ooh," and he cussed. I went to Christian school. We all just went, all right, because, I mean, he was a good friend of mine. We'd pray together. I think he was a senior at that time. I mean, he was a really godly guy. So afterwards, like, what? And he looked around, he's like, I have no idea where that came from. We're like, what in the world is wrong with you? Later on, we were talking. He had let some things slip, and he had been watching some TV he shouldn't have. And guess what happened? It got into his heart. And what you let into your heart, it will come out. And so that's why we guard our heart. I guard my ear gate. I guard my eye gate. I guard what's coming into my life. I watch what I read. I watch what I listen to. Why? Because what is coming in will affect your heart. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, this puke comes out. You just say, where did that come from? Trace it. Trace it. And so in your heart or in your home and in your the things that you do, you've got to be careful of what comes in. That's why it is important. That's why it is important if I'm on the internet. Even my phone has covenant eyes. Why? Because you got to guard your heart. You got to watch what's coming in. Because way down deep inside, you let all kind of garbage fester inside. Pretty soon, whoop. Whoa. Man, where did that gossip come from? Oh, it didn't just happen. No, you're eating it. You're taking it in. We've got to be careful of our heart. David makes a confession worthy of emulating. In Psalm 119 and verse 10, he said, he sought God with his whole heart. His whole heart. You know, sometimes we have a desire to go to God that is often feeble. And what we let come in, and it sidetracks us. It gets us away from focusing on God. And we have to be careful. We've got to push away all of those things that are going to come in and infest into our hearts, because who has your heart? I can tell by your words. I can tell who has your heart by what's coming out of your mouth. And that means as a teenager, if all of a sudden, and this also I think relates a little bit to your thought life, if all of a sudden, not just your mouth, but your thoughts, it's entertaining rock music and country music and contemporary music, and it's just there all the time. Who has your heart? You know who has your heart. It is not godly things. Because it's from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I think it does affect the mind. Because you know that, you know, it's going to come up and it's going to go through your mind and you're going to speak it. And so I think even in the portals of the mind, some of you, you think, well, because I didn't say it, I just think this. Clean your mind out. Don't let that filth fester inside. You get it out of there and you keep away from it. I don't want to be near filth. I don't want to be close to it. We've got to have a hatred for evil. We've got to be getting away from it and say, God, help me to be wise in what affects my heart. As parents, it's our job to be careful. It's our jobs to be careful of what's coming into our homes. And so that means that in everything, reading materials and music, we should be training them up, but we also have to hold the teenagers and hold the children accountable. You're looking at, why are you reading that? You should know what they read. Well, you know, have you read it, parent? Have you flipped through it? Do you know what the content is? And it's silly of us, silly of some of you guys. I don't know if some of you may have this, but I wouldn't doubt that maybe some of you as parents with your teenagers saying, you know what, it's okay for them to have an email address. They can go to the library and just mess around. And you let it in their heart. Watch their speech sometime. Pastor Parrish knows it. He's mentioned this. Used to love doing them candy cell trips, just driving the bus. It's amazing how invisible you are. It's unbelievable how invisible you are as the youth pastor or the chaperone or whatever, just driving there, and all of a sudden it's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And you're like, whoa, whoa. Man, and so like the next six sermons are made up. You're just jotting ideas down. Because you're like, whoa. And they think that, no, I was just talking. Well, really? Just talking. No, it's in your heart. I'm sorry, we go to the Bible, and the Bible says how the abundance of the heart, the mouth, speaketh. And so when you get together, and all of a sudden it's puke on this person, puke on that person, that's your heart. That's what you think of a fellow church member. Don't do it. That's wrong. It brings disunity. And God can't bless disunity. You read in the book of Acts, and when the Spirit of God moved and it flowed over that church, it was because, yes, there was the power of God, and yes, there was unction, and yes, there was fear, but what you will find is that there was unity. And unity amongst the believers must be there. And that comes when you care for each other. instead of cut someone down. So is that you? In your heart, it's malice towards this person, covetous towards that person. Why did they get that? Or even, think about this. I challenge you sometime in the book of Proverbs, study the word forward. The forward mouth, the forward tongue, or the scorner. You put those together, the forward mouth and heart and the scorner, they come together a little bit. And in some instances, it's that person that is the critic. They've raised themselves up. And now, well, look at those children. Well, look at yours. And that's what we all of a sudden become this critic of everybody else. And I can tell you this. Now, I am the pastor, and I have to deal with a lot of things. But I got a lot to deal with myself, with my own heart, and my family's hearts. Isn't that enough for you? Can you just get that right? Instead of attacking everybody else, and all of a sudden you're the critic, and, well, I've seen it, you know, over here, and, you know, I've just been keeping a diary. Let's do that for you. Let's get out of this critical spirit idea, because what is that doing? It is in the heart, and it pukes out. And then all we say is, well, I'm just trying to be a fruit inspector. We have a great way of twisting scripture. And instead of getting lowly before God and humbling ourselves before God and saying, woe is me, instead our heart gets lifted up and we become the critic. We become this person. Oh, don't you know who I am? I know who I am, and I'm not much. And neither are you if you get in the Word of God. Because the closer you get to God, the lower you get. And the farther away you get from God, the higher you're lifted up. Until you become unequal. Because that's the devil's ploy. Because I will be as God. That's Lucifer, son of the morning. And guess what? You're falling for the same ploy. And when that I comes out, and when the criticism comes out, it's all because it's in your heart. And we have to be careful of that. Again, David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. We have to seek him with our heart. We got to look for him. So we're doing a heart check. How can we tell who has our heart? We can tell who has our heart by our countenance. We can tell who has our heart by our words. But I can tell also who has my heart by my direction. By my direction. And what do I mean by that? Well, the way I point my heart, or the way I'm heading in my life is the way my heart is desiring. That's my passions. So what do we mean by that as far as, in essence, that's kind of like priorities. And so you can analyze your life. You can study your life and you can say, okay, so what really runs my life? Who really has my heart? Well, then line it up. Do you really spend time with God? You know. And again, this is inward. You have to answer it. Do you really spend time with God? Is it a checklist? Is it something you look forward to? Do you have times that you study? It's times that you set aside and say, man, I just can't wait. I'm just going to set some extra time aside and I want to look at a book this week, or I want to study this few verses. I want to see what they really mean. Do you have that? Is there times that it's just, man, I just have a passion for the Word of God. I got to be in it. Man, God just seems to be tugging at my heart. I've got to get there. No? Well, then who has your heart? Who has your heart? Man, I can't wait to get some extra time. You know what? Maybe I could run over here and I could go shopping. Ooh, got a little bit of extra time. Man, you know what? I think I'll, and I'm not saying that all of your extra time has to be scooped up by God, but shouldn't some? Shouldn't it be a thought that, hey, I got this little extra time. You know what? I could just sit down. Man, I brought this book with me that I've been wanting to finish up. I got this spiritual book, and I could probably read a chapter of it. But there's never a thought about God. There's never a thought about a soul. There's never a thought as you're going through the marketplace or going in town or going anywhere. There's never a thought of, maybe just a passing, fleeting thought of, man, that's a soul. Boy, they're going to heaven or hell. There's never a fleeting thought that way. Then where's your direction? Who's on the throne of your heart then? Because you see, the direction that we're headed, it tells you who has your heart. And so that's why sometimes people can say, well, I think they're going to be going here. I think we had that illustration this week. We had that illustration because, man, if you get on 94 and you're heading towards Chicago, right, and you keep driving west on 94, if you don't get off, I'm pretty sure you're going to get to Chicago. And you'd say, you know what? You're just judgmental. Now, you don't do that with the cars out there. Like, you know what? You're judging them cars. Them people in them cars, you're judging them. No, you'd say, well, you're kind of stupid. I mean, they're on 94 West. And if they keep going, they're going to go to Chicago. And guess what? It's the same idea spiritually. You say, well, you know what? I'm not going all the way towards worldliness, but you're headed there. You've turned your life towards it. And so you look worldly. You think worldly. You talk worldly. That's your direction. And you wouldn't say that about a car going to Chicago, but you say, you're silly. No, I'm not. I'm not silly. And so that's why it also can be good for us. Because then when we see a life, and you know what? They're trying to win souls. And they're trying to do this. You know what you're doing? You're heading your life in the right direction. Because there are things, there are indicators that help me know that I'm heading towards the direction of godliness. And we taught on it. We've taught on it in the month of March. Month of March, we used and we said, add to your faith. And so what should I be doing? I'm adding virtue and I'm adding knowledge and I'm adding patience. I'm adding godliness. And so you know what? As we're working on it and in my life, when I look at it and I analyze, I say godliness, patience, virtue, temperance. Then I know where I'm headed. I'm heading to growth. I'm headed to growing in the Lord. But you're adding nothing. You don't add patience. You add anger. You don't add virtue. You add dirty thoughts. You don't add Bible study. You don't add temperance. You don't add any of those things. What you're adding is you're adding worldliness and you're adding this. And then guess what? I know where you're headed. And you do if you stop and analyze. But we kind of act silly or act ignorant. We say, well, you know, I mean, how am I supposed to know the Word of God? I can go as David and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way. I can go to the Word of God and then I can say, hey, turn the spotlight on. Is God faithful? Is God true to His Word? Oh, He's exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So when you ask God and say, turn that spotlight on my heart, reveal it, show me God. He will not keep silent. But what you have to do is say, God, I will act. Are you willing to do it? There's some people that go to a doctor. I've met some people. I've talked to some people. Like, yeah, I got a checkup. Yeah, the doctor said I'm, you know, I'm just a little obese. Like, oh, really? Yeah, you know, like, you know, 140 pounds. Or whatever, you know. Yeah, it's just a little bit. You know, and you're like, well what are you going to do? You know, I've been got a book over there. Like, yeah, what's the book? Yeah, I bought it. Bought it at the bookstore. Yeah, it's all about eating right. Like, really? Yeah, it's there. Like, yeah, it looks like it's still in the plastic wrap. Yeah, I bought it. I bought it a couple months ago. Doctor said, yeah, 6 months ago, if you don't change anything, yeah, I'll probably be dead in like 7 weeks. I've been making it, though. And I'm doing all right. What that book there? Do you want me to help you open it? You'd say, that guy's silly. That guy's ignorant. You go to a doctor and he says, hey, there's all these problems. And then you even go and you take the effort and you buy something and it sits there. But you and I do the same thing spiritually. You and I do the same thing because God comes to us and He says, hey, I put the spotlight on. And you see that section of your heart. Yeah, I've been pointing it out to you. Yeah, I'll deal with it, God. But then day one goes by, day two, day three, day four. You know, He's been tugging your heart for a while. He tugged on your heart this week. He tugged on your heart a couple weeks ago. He mentioned some things, and it could have been as you were driving. It could have been maybe even while you were shopping, and God just said, hey, what about this? Like, No, God, you asked Him. You asked Him, give me a checkup. The doctor, he's giving you what you need to do. But guess what you got to do? Sometimes you got to get the sneakers on. Sometimes you got to go and maybe you got to go down and in my house, it's my basement. I got to get in the basement. I've got to work out a little bit. I've got to get some. I got to get some aerobic activity. Got to get the sweat up. Or maybe it's, you know what? I got to just push away from the table. You know what? I'm only going to do half portions this week. I'm not going to eat this. We know it physically. So spiritually, when God says, "Hey, you know what? You've been listening to the radio a little too much. Cut it out." Well, God, next week. No. The doctor's telling you what to do. Listen to him. And then he says, hey, you know what? This week what I want you to do is, why don't you just take an extra 15 minutes every evening? Well, next week I'll try that. Man, it just seems a little busy. No, the doctor's telling you. You got a heart problem. Listen to the doctor. Do the work. He's going to tell you specifically what to do. It could be all kinds of different things. It could be in the area of soul winning. And he says, you know what? Hey, just be a little more active. Hey, put some tracks in. Put them out a little more. Take them with you. Try to talk to somebody once a day, maybe once a week. But God's talked to you. He put the spotlight on it. Your heart was exposed. You're looking at it. Now with modern technology, man, you can see all kinds of things. But it's amazing with God's technology what He can show you. It's unbelievable. But you know what sometimes? Oh yeah, when you're alone with God and He turns on the monitor. A little squeamish. God, I don't know about that. No, look at it. That's your heart. That's what it is. He wants you to take care of it. It could be in a relationship within your home. It could be a relationship with another member. But why don't... It was preached this week. It was preached this week. Own up to it. Own up to it. And say, God, I was going this direction. Now you've exposed it. I'm turning and I'm asking you, God, help me get a different direction, because the direction you're going shows your heart. It shows your heart. You have a bent towards worldliness. Men, you have a bent towards wrong thoughts. It shows your heart. Ask God, stop it. Stop it, God. We should be a holy people. It's not saying we're going to be perfect. It's not saying I don't believe in a sinless perfection, but I do know this. It's baloney that you can't have victory. It's baloney that we can't conquer something. It's baloney that God can't change you. He can, and He will, if you'll follow His direction. But so many times we want to go our own way. We say, well, I don't know, man. I don't know about my heart. No, you know it. And you know what to do. We have to check our heart out. Who has your heart? You can tell by your countenance. You can tell by your words. You can tell by your directions. You can tell by your focus. Who has your heart? In Glasgow, Scotland, there's a preacher that heard of a lady in distress, and she was in financial straits. And he went to her house to help her out. He went up to the door and knocked. Went up to the door and knocked. He thought he heard someone inside. But no one answered. So he knocked louder. He waited, and he went away disappointed. He wanted to help the lady with her problems. A few days later, he met the lady on the streets in Glasgow. He told her that he went to her house and to help her a few days earlier. The lady exclaimed that, oh, that was you at the door? I thought it was the landlord coming to get rent. So I kept the door bolted. Isn't that crazy? Because in Revelation 3, it's written to you and I, actually, that he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Oh, it's God. You're His child. He wants to come in. He wants to fellowship with you. But He also wants to give you a checkup. He wants to check you out. He wants to say, what's going on inside? Open up the door. Let Him in. You will never regret sitting down with your Savior. You'll enjoy it. Now, sometimes it may be a little uncomfortable, because the Savior's going to see some things that, not going to like that. Deal with the uncomfortableness. Deal with that uncomfortableness. Let Him come in. Let Him sit down. And what you'll find is pretty soon, you're like, man, I want Him to come back more. And the more you invite Him, the more He'll be there knocking. And pretty soon, you're like, man, I'm anticipating this. Get to the point that you enjoy and you're anticipating the knock of the Savior saying, hey, I want to come in. I want to sup with you. And guess what? Sometimes He may even bring His own food. And you can sit and eat with Christ. You can enjoy fellowship again. Christ wants your heart. Not just your actions. Not just your deeds, not just your words. Because you know what? If Christ gets your heart, all of that will be taken care of. You won't be perfect. Oh, you're going to have problems, and sometimes you'll have big days and low days. Man, sometimes it's not always as easy. But if God has your heart, if Christ can be there in your heart, He knows that a lot of other things are taken care of. Who has your heart? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather together. Lord, we ask that be with us, meet with us during the invitation time. Help us to examine our hearts. Look internally and say, Lord, put the spotlight on. Well, thank you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen.